This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our calling number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by a great American patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm terrific, Vito. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. A little technical difficulties here this evening, which kind of hit at the very end. But hopefully we'll get through this tonight, and we should. So, but I'm doing good. Doing good. Probably
good
not as good as John Rahm. Yesterday was the finale of the American Express at La Quinta in California. And boy, John Rahm turned it on, but could not distance himself from the field yesterday. But rookie Davis Thompson, who played at the University of Georgia, this kid, this young man is really a solid golfer. And hopefully it's just not a first time and one and done. But he gave Rahm a run. He played fantastic for his best PGA Tour finish. He finished solo second yesterday. And had his birdie putt on 17th hole not hit the stick and popped out. He could have been tied for the lead going into 18 and a possible playoff. Did you see that putt, by the way?
I watched the whole thing. Oh, I watched it all.
Man.
It was great.
Oh, my God. That young man, really, Davis Thompson, he played fantastic for for 4 days. He led the tournament after Friday and Saturday's round, but wow, I mean, he played really well. And the putt on 17, he had about a 35-foot putt down the hill, and he hit it beautiful. It hits the center of the pin. He decided to leave it in and to catch it from going in. And that's just kind of, heartbreaking, but he made a great chip on 18 to save par, and he finished solo second. Rahm, though, he shot a 4-under 68, and it was enough to win by one stroke. So next week they're off to Torrey Pines in San Diego, which should be good, and Rahm plays really well there. So it was a good tourney.
I tell you that the scores were low, and I thought it looked like an extremely difficult course to play.
It is.
Boy, their scores were low. I mean, I couldn't believe the level of play. It was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
And the key to that course is wind. And when there's no wind, these guys eat it up. And as well as they hit the driver, their tee shots they hit it. They usually hit their tee shots very well. And when they're down in the middle with no wind or little wind, those guys mm-hmm. just overpower a course, and they did. I mean, 27 under par for Rahm and 26 for for young Davis Thompson was 10 under par one day, 11 under par another day. It's like, oh my God. Huh. Incredible. And the ladies kicked off their LPGA 2023 season at the great Annika Sorenstam's home course in Orlando at the Lake Nona Country Club. And 29 of the LPGA Tour winners over the past 2 years were invited. And Canadian Brooke Henderson took charge the very first round on Thursday, and she never looked back. She ended up winning by 4 strokes yesterday. A couple of ladies tried to make it interesting, including Nelly Korda, the world number two, and Maja Stark. Anyways, she's from Sweden or Norway, and then the lady from Japan. But they could only get within 4 strokes, and Brooke launched her 2023 season by notching her 13th LPGA Tour victory. Did you watch any of that?
I watched a little bit here and there, and Henderson was strong. She was having some good golf, too. The ladies could play, and it was windy conditions.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Contrary to what it was like in California. What's that?
Oh.
Did you experience that yesterday?
I did, yeah, I did in the morning. It started at about 10 o'clock. It really started at 10:30, started picking up. And it was very windy, so I could relate to what these ladies are playing through. And as I caved and folded like a cheap suit, these girls hung strong and hit the ball extremely well.
What? Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Jeez. That stinks.
Well, hey, golf is like a way. It goes good and then it goes bad. You got to hit bottom and then you crawl your way back up. It's like alcoholism, but much more fun and no hangovers.
Yeah. Well, hey, in case you missed it, there was some hangover in Atlanta. Antifa, which is the violent arm of the Democrat Party, called for a night of rage. Now, I don't know about you, but a night of rage sounds like a night of violence, a night of terrorism. And there's absolutely zero reason for that unless you want anarchy. And this is what Antifa does. Antifa, which is the violent arm of the Democrat Party, thinks that they can go into a city and intimidate, officials in that state, in that city. And I got to say, Atlanta, I guess, handled it pretty well, but Antifa is the violent arm of the Democrat Party, and violent is the key word. Violent activists who attacked a police officer and was killed by the police, a violent thug fires his weapon at a police officer. He struck the police officer. Police return fire, and they kill the assailant. And, the activist. This is the clean sheeting of violent criminals who take it upon themselves that they are going to attack police officers. Well, you know what? If you point a weapon at a police officer, if you shoot a police officer, you better be prepared for the consequences. And the consequences in this case is an activist who shot a police officer is dead, and rightly so. But suddenly, Antifa, the violent arm of the Democrat Party, decides that they're going to call for a night of rage. And you've got these people who appear on CNN who are offended by the use of the term violent or violence. Really? You're offended by the term violence when you burn police cars, when you throw rocks, when you throw bottles, when you throw paraphernalia at police officers? You're not violent when you break windows and this gives you an opportunity to riot? Suddenly you can't use the term violence? So the 1 million bikers who descended upon Washington, D.C. about 3 years ago and peacefully protested, They didn't burn anything. They didn't shoot anybody. They didn't attack law enforcement, police officers. They peacefully protested. They get no recognition for peaceably assembling and expressing their voice. But now we can't express our outrage over the violent arm of the Democrat Party, Antifa, calling for riots. That's not a form of peaceful protesting. It's terrorism. It's destroying property. You burn a police car or any vehicle, it's not peaceful. It's violence. And there's videos of an Atlanta police vehicle that's on fire. That's violence. Anarchy by Antifa, the violent arm of the Democrat Party. Oh, and by the way, the mayor of Atlanta confirmed that Antifa, the violent arm of the Democrat Party, used explosives. There is no reason for this night of outrage. That's terrorism. Breaking store windows, throwing rocks, throwing bricks, attacking police officers is not peaceful protesting. It's violence. How could 1 million bikers descend on our nation's capital and peacefully protest? Not a car window broken, not a window broken, not a police officer attacked. It was expressing their outrage by peacefully protesting. And now you've got these yahoos, these left-wing lunatics, these mental midgets going on CNN. And they're all saying, you know, it's not right to call the night of rage violent. Yes, it is. They destroyed property. They attacked a police officer.
Yep, that guy was an idiot. Total idiot. And six of the people that were arrested of the seven, I believe, were from out of state. So this was a planned event. These Antifa fascist anarchists, they brought bags of rocks. They had hammers to break windows, spray paint to tag buildings. Andy Ngo caught a lot of this on video. He's outstanding because he's at every one of these, wherever they're at. And the police need to enforce the rule of law, period. And they can take down these. I mean, once you get them out of their black gear, they're a bunch of emo little gay, disgusting, skinny, drug addict felons that are these Antifa losers, and that's what they are. And the police can take them out, and they advertise this in social media. The police could take them out for disturbing the peace or gathering without a permit and then blocking the streets, but they don't do it because they are the muscle for the Democrat Marxist Party.
Yeah. The DNC, the Democrats are also quiet about it, aren't they? You know, I didn't hear Raphael Warnock getting out there and shouting at the, you know, and giving a sermon about this is violence. But I got to give Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, some credit. He said, violence and unlawful destruction of property are not acts of protest. They are crimes that will not be tolerated in Georgia and will be protected fully. Thank you to the hardworking GADPS, the GBI, Georgia, Atlanta Police, and others for actively keeping our streets safe tonight. And you know what?
Yeah.
Kudos to Governor Kemp.
Yeah, except for it's still considered terrorism, and the insurance companies are going to screw the businesses that had property damage because they're not going to honor the claims.
Great point.
Usually there's usually there's a terrorism, what do they call it? Not a waiver, but
exclusion.
Exclusion. That's it. Although I know about those. But, the insurance company will screw, and these companies can have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. And they pay a lot of property taxes to be in downtown Atlanta. So the police have an obligation to keep those businesses and people safe from these anarchists, but they're not doing it in Atlanta because Atlanta is a Democrat haven, a haven of communist bastards.
Hmm.
And it's only getting worse.
Yep. And you know what, if the anarchists are out there and they are listening, you know, if you are a thug and you're a rioter, and if you shoot a police officer, they will shoot back, and you could die, and rightly so. So you shot a police officer, this activist shoots a police officer, and the officers shot back. So don't be surprised. You know, just like Hamas, you punch Israel and they'll punch you back. When?
Yeah. Hey, did you watch any of the NFL for the playoffs?
No, I did not. Didn't even think about it.
Really? Oh,
what happened?
I'll tell you. It was good. We got the Chiefs and Jags, the Bengals and the Bills, the Eagles and your Giants, and the Cowboys and the 49ers. Kansas City Chiefs
and
they're the number one ranked, but Mahomes is injured, and he still won. And, yeah, it was amazing. It was a pretty good game, but you missed it.
So the Chiefs beat the Jags?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, they're going to be playing. The Chiefs are going to be playing the Jags. All right, take that back. They did win. Yeah, they won.
Okay.
So there you go. So you got the Bengals versus Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, San Francisco 49ers, and the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC.
Well, so the Bengals and the Chiefs. Hey, the Bengals, that's Joe Burrow, the Bengals.
Yeah.
I like
Joe
Burrow.
Should be a
former LSU quarterback.
So that should be a good matchup, and that'll be on January 29th. So buckle up and watch some NFL.
129. Okay. That would be next Sunday. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea about the national anthem, though. I kind of came in late to watch, but hopefully they'll have a good national anthem respectfully done. God bless America. But jury's out on that. I wouldn't take a bet on that, though.
Yeah.
Bunch of douchebags.
Yeah. All right. I may have to give it some thoughts since Joe Burrows is playing. I like Joe Burrows.
Yeah.
So this past Saturday, there was a shooting at Monterey Park in California, which left 10 people dead and 10 others wounded, you know, at a ballroom dance studio amid the Lunar New Year celebrations. And the DNC was quick to send out their coordinated cliches to their left-wing lunatics like Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff. Now, these two frauds, they never miss an opportunity to exploit a tragedy, even before facts are known, which is exactly what happened this past Saturday. You know, it's a canned and coordinated effort by the destructive Democrat Party. And quickly, Chuck Schumer spewed the words bigotry, bang, you know, without missing a beat. Adam Schiff, you know, happened to use the same term, okay, about bigotry. Oh, there was an absolute shocker that two Democrats used the same used the same slogans and cliches. And, of course, the other part was bigotry. Now, Schiff used the term bigotry, as did Schumer. They used the gun control as another measure, and they used gun violence, and they attacked, of course, the Second Amendment, as you would think they would. But it turns out that the shooter, or the alleged shooter, by the way, is an Asian. So the Lunar New Year celebration.
I thought it was a Republican white person.
Well, that's where the disappointment comes in. And that's why, you know, you had the irresponsible and reckless Schumer and Schiff, you know, go out there and starting to indict white supremacists, you know, and of course call for gun control because they always take advantage of a crisis and they never look at it in a rational fashion because that's all the Democrats do is they base their commentary on emotion. And so gun control, gun safety, gun violence, you know, they condemn that and they attempted to condemn white supremacy, but it turns out the photos that were taken of the alleged shooter shows he's Asian. So possibly this guy has an axe to grind. Maybe he was pissed at who was attending the ballroom. Maybe he was pissed at the company. But, you know, it never, ever fails, okay? The fraudulence of these politicians who try to indict, you know, whiteism, okay? They have to be absolutely they are absolutely fraudulent in this manner. You know, they're following the Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, number 4, gun control, number 8, class warfare. So, you know, it's unfortunate what happened. It is certainly a tragedy. But if it turns out that the shooter is indeed Asian at an Asian event, there's something that went awry there. And this lunatic had an axe to grind with somebody there. But it just goes to show how irresponsible, you know, these left wingers are, including Chuck Schumer and including Adam Schiff, who are nothing but they're bottom feeders, both of them.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Say, he helped disarm the gunman who allegedly shot 20 people, 10 fatally, during this New Year's celebration. So congratulations to Brandon Say for being the hero and disarming this 70-year-old murderer.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And then
right.
he did, and then the murderer at least did the world a favor and blew his brains out and saved the taxpayer a lot of money.
Oh, so he did, huh?
Yeah. He went into the van. Brandon Say, I guess, gave the police a description of the van. The police caught up with the van about 30 minutes later, and the murderer blew his brains out and did the world a favor.
Yeah, I was listening to one of the shows. Maybe it was Newsmax, and they were concerned that they were hoping they would take him alive or he'd still be alive so they could figure out why this guy did what he did. But if he's Asian,
who
there
cares?
Certainly has to be an issue. Yeah, exactly. Okay, and so, you know, and you're tired. Will Schumer and Schiff take back their issue of bigotry? No, because the idea is to condemn whiteism in any way, shape, or form, even before they know what the facts are.
Yeah, I don't care why he did what he did. The fact that he did it, I don't need to know. I don't care. I'm glad he blew his brains out.
Save taxpayer money.
Yeah, what am I going to do with that? Oh, so what, he had a tough childhood of 70 or he had some domestic issue and decided to shoot 20 people with an AK? Thank you, Brandon, for disarming this piece of human debris. And to the murderer, thank you for blowing your brains out. End of story. Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Because,
not you, but if you got more to say, I wasn't
no,
order you around, or I'm going to shoot up my room here. And I'm going to have a domestic event right now.
You have a domestic event?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to send you over the top.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, you know, and I am going to move on to the World Economic Forum, and I
think your buddy,
the proper name now is New World Order. The World Economic Forum is now the New World Order. This is the New World Order, and you know, it's really interesting to see who the attendees were, including Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, including a South Florida Republican representative, was it Marco Rubio, who was a woman, who started to talk about, illegal immigration, migration. But the person who took the cake, one of the two people that took the cake, was John Lurch Kerry. And I got to tell you, folks, John Kerry is one of the biggest hucksters in the Democrat Party, in the liberal elite category. Now, if you hadn't heard, okay, if you let these people, these elitists talk long enough, they expose who they really are. And these global elitists think they're God. They think they're some sort of God, and they have disciples. And I don't know, maybe Klaus Schwab is the God, and the disciples are individuals like John Kerry and company, you know? Their primary goal is the confiscation of tax money from countries around the world to enrich themselves. And they want you to think that they're productive. but they're not. They're elitists. And John Kerry, the snobbish elitist, the anti-constitutionalist, decided to let you know exactly, okay, what these select group of human beings were all about. And if you let these arrogant assholes are part of the New World Order, they expose themselves in ways that it becomes no longer conspiratorial. You know, the accusations are, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you've got that same tinfoil hat as I forgot what's his name. And you know, you're just making stuff up. But no, you listen to these people. Listen to them. John Kerry said, when you start to think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, a select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. Now, this is 37 seconds. If you're eating, you may want to stop eating, because John Kerry has a tendency to make you sick, okay? I mean, this guy is nothing but a blowhard, but, you know, he finds a way to enrich himself. And he's doing it at the expense of the American taxpayer. And certainly he doesn't care. He never cared. He doesn't care about the United States of America. He doesn't care about the U.S. Constitution, and certainly doesn't care about the citizens of the United States. So here's Kerry in his own arrogant words.
And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. And if you said that to most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever. And there's no relationship. But really, that's where we are.
It's truly extraordinary, Al. And if you think about it, it could be extraterrestrial. Yeah, well, he does look like an alien. There's no doubt about it. But the arrogance of these people, of these individuals, this select group of human beings who descended upon Davos, Switzerland, who's determining the fate of countries, of civilization. It's unbelievable that these individuals, these select group of human beings, are going to decide what's right for the planet. They're playing God, okay? And did you catch the global elitist con man, Kerry? A select group of human beings. I don't know about you, Al, but that really took me aback when I heard that commentary, because these select group of human beings are going to play God to save the planet. And I want to know, who anointed you, God, to save the planet? Because it certainly wasn't the American people.
Well, he said that he was touched. I think he was touched by rich millionaire women that he married for their wealth. And he got touched by capitalist millions through marriage.
Yeah.
He's like a barnacle on the bottom of a ship. Lurch.
Oh, yes. Yeah, great example. That is a great example. You know, he prances around the world in his private jets, his gas-guzzling private jet. You know, and again, he can't fly, you know, commercially. Oh, you know, I have to be at certain places. So he's using, you know, the fossil fuels. And he condemns people for using fossil fuels. But don't look at me, because it's pretty extraordinary to think that this fraud is telling you and me to feel guilty about, you know, and duping us about saving the planet. You know, Mother Earth can take care of herself. And however, you know, man plays God seeking to manipulate climate. And the John Kerrys of the world, who now we know are members of a select group of human beings, see themselves as saviors. The global elitists make decisions which will impact 334 million Americans plus the rest of the world. You know, and it's like these elitists now are feeling emboldened They feel emboldened because they actually have access to the checkbooks of nations around the world. And who's going to stop them? Because you've got this feckless fraud in the White House who is following through with the New World Order's commands of eliminating fossil fuel. And we're already seeing it. You know, we saw it on January 21st of 2021 when gas prices started to rise. And now the idiot in the White House sends out a tweet yesterday or today, or actually maybe it's his handlers. In all fairness, I'm sure it's his handlers. And he's saying the beg was gas prices are down $1.20 a gallon, you know, since it's high. Well, that's absolute misinformation, okay? It's still $1.20 higher a gallon from when you took office, when you first took office. It's still, you know, $3, $5 a gallon, $4 a gallon for heating fuel oil in America, which is $2.70 higher than when you first took office. And you want to talk about natural gas? Natural gas has gone up 300% since you've taken office. In some cases, 500%. And I can prove it as well. So don't give us this happy horse shit and try to sugarcoat all this stuff with your lies and your misinformation, okay? You know, Joe Biden is beholden to the New World Order, which is the World Economic Forum, and their great climate scam. But, you know, John Kerry isn't outdone, okay? He's not outdone because the other charlatan with regards to the climate change, okay? To the climate change ruse, to the climate scam crisis, was this year's main focus at the New World Order WEF annual meeting, annual New World Order meeting. Sorry, the NWO WEF pranced out John Kerry and their climate con man, Al Gore. Yes, folks, Al Gore was at the climate scam meeting for the World Economic Forum of the New World Order. And here's Al Gore now, okay, with his 38-second rant, okay? And there's some new words now that you all are going to have to understand in this whole theatrics and the dramatization of this climate crisis scam that's being furthered by the World Economic Forum and the New World Order. So here's Al Gore in his own words, okay, and how he starts with his little hyperbole, we'll say.
We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day. Ooh. And the accumulated amount Ooh. Is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding Ooh. Every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, Ooh. Creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting Ooh. The ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian Ooh. Trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion?
Oh, just a few million refugees, climate refugees. Folks, that's the New World Order's, okay, new cliche, climate refugees. Here we go. And it was launched by Al Gore. You know, Al Gore is going nuclear using the term climate refugees. And then about the xenophobia, about a few million refugees, really, a few million refugees, 5 million coming into the United States of America illegally, crossing America's borders illegally, and now siphoning off the taxpayer, okay, and causing budget busting of cities, towns, and states all across America. But it's only a few million, and you're xenophobic if you question illegal aliens pouring through your border, whether it's in the United States or Italy or Greece, okay, or Hungary or Germany. That's xenophobia. But boy, be prepared now. There's a new hysteria out there, and it's called climate refugee. Now, as far as I can tell, I think it might be a bunch of penguins that are relocating from the Antarctica trying to find colder spots. Now, I don't know what other climate refugee there could be, but this is the New World Order's new cliche, climate refugee. It's one of them because the New World Order came up with a new word that's added to the lexicon. So the New World Order's World Economic Forum and their climate charlatans, the global hucksters, are peddling their disinformation with their feigned outrage, just like Al Gore went apocalyptic, you know. And the conning of taxpayers, while this select group of elitists are duping the American people, and they're conning the world over their climate scam. And they're not done, because the other word now that no one knew what it meant, because it was a new word that was derived by the New World Order World Economic Forum, and it's called polycrisis. Yes, folks. The New World Order has developed a new word in order to further, okay, their hoax, the con game that's involved, and it's called polycrisis. I want to thank Bigfoot, and really, you go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and you can check out the story that's in there about the climate crisis and about polycrisis and what it means. And it's actually a new word that was developed, okay, by the New World Order, World Economic Forum, and it has to do with a number of crises that they, the New World Order, has identified, and it's nothing but a hoax. You know, every CO2 emission warms the planet. The CO2 warming is a hoax. Per NOAA data, we have emitted 450 billion tons of CO2 since 2015. 14% of the total is man-made, yet the planet has not cooled. Warming exists, but it's not CO2-driven. And you know, you give this New World Order, World Economic Forum, a little bit of a rope, and they seek to take the whole 9 yards. They have no intention, okay, of relinquishing that power. And the power they found is to con the world. And you've got these John Con Kerry, you've got Al Gore, of course you have Joe Biden and his handlers. And you know, we know that the New World Order is completely full of shit. The new narrative now uttered by climate con czar Kerry: if U.S. companies don't act on climate change, all the countries will start charging higher taxes for Americans' goods. You know, that's complete and utter bullshit. Because what has that not happened to goods and products that were created by China? And why hasn't it happened with Vietnam? Or why hasn't it happened with India? You don't want to talk about the big con? The con man Kerry, you know, being interviewed by Bloomberg, and there's another liberal Marxist media source that's owned by many Mike Bloomberg. Okay? Number one, the economy. Number two is emissions in the United States, right? The United States is number two in emissions when it comes to the climate con, by as John Kerry cited. China has got the number two economy in the world, and they're the number one in releasing emissions. Kerry said, we can work with China. But, of course, the operative word is work. And do you think China gives a shit about the environment and wants to work with the New World Order? They're making too much money. Move away from coal. That's what John Kerry – move away from coal. So – did West Virginia hear that? Did Joe Manchin hear that, moving away from coal? You know, this is the great Joe Manchin, the great senator from West Virginia, who's that great thinker, who's that great moderate, who absolutely killed the coal mining industry in West Virginia because he was nothing more than a destructive Democrat. So the climate con continues and now has been doubled and tripled down by the New World Order, the NWO, the WEF. I'm so sick of these people. You know, it's about damn time that people start opening their eyes and not buy this crap that's being sold and shoved down our throat. All of these elitists, these select few of human beings who were chosen, okay, descended upon Davos and they all used their own freaking, you know, private jets, many of them did, you know, gas-guzzling, fossil-fuel-burning jets. And they're going to tell us how we're to live. They're going to tell us that we can't eat meat anymore. They're going to tell us that cow farts is killing the freaking atmosphere. It's absolute horseshit. And I'm sure that gives off some sort of CO2. The Earth is 4.5 billion years old. Mother Earth can take care of herself. But man manipulating the Earth and the weather is absolute hogwash. These people can't control the sun. And when they find a way to control sunspots, okay, and sunbursts, then we could talk about controlling the weather. It's absolute horseshit in there. What they're doing is they're profiting off of the backs of taxpayers. They're raping taxpayer funds. And now in America, thanks to Joe Biden and his destructive handlers, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, okay, Samantha Power, all of those Obamaites who want nothing more than to make you and me indentured to the federal government with their climate con. And it's exactly what it is. It's climate con. In other words, be a good climate citizen and pay the price of higher taxes. It is a load of crap because it's just another way to launder money. God.
I think they're idiots. They want to take your car away, and they think they're better than everybody else, and they were touched by something to make them better than you or me. People laugh at them behind their backs, and they laugh at their arrogance and their ignorance. And, hey, we got a caller.
Yeah, one more thing, okay? The energy crisis has been getting hit with outside problems. In September of last year, the Nord Stream pipeline running under the Baltic Sea from Russia blew up. Officially, it hasn't been determined if it was an act of sabotage, despite finding traces of explosives near the site. And since then, there's been another gas pipeline explosion in Russia, in Lithuania last week, and another in Louisiana that occurred close to the same time of the Baltic blast. Investigators have not officially determined or release the cause of these ruptures. As the New World Order WEF proclaims, this is the year of the poly crisis. Citizens of the world can be assured that the organization that can say it can solve the multiple crises plaguing the globe is also is the organization guilty of instigating the crisis in the first place. And that was one of the best things I've ever heard, okay, is the very organization who's crying about this, okay, who decides that there's a poly crisis. They're the ones that have caused all this, and all by design.
Well, I can tell you, my name is John Kerry, and I married a woman from the Heinz ketchup family that was worth $1.3 billion. So screw all you.
And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. And if you said that to most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging, lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And there's no relationship. But really, that's where we are.
Yeah.
I'll take some ketchup with those fries, please.
Yeah.
What a clown.
Exactly. But unfortunately, these clowns have gotten the attention of politicians at high levels, such as, you know, the President of the United States, and they're pushing this radical left-wing globalist agenda. And they're actually stealing money from the American taxpayer. I mean, I don't know how much more money can be stolen, but they are certainly, you know, got their hands inside the inside of your wallet.
Well, what a fraud he is. His Vietnam war experience. Yeah. Did you know he only served 4 months in Vietnam? He was an officer on a Swift boat in 1969. And in these 4 months, John Kerry, who had no major wounds, He earned his Silver Star, Bronze Star, and 3 Purple Hearts in 4 months. and a couple of those were due to rice getting blown into his ass that had to get removed, and he got a Purple Heart for that. See, John Kerry is a clown and a fraud because he worked the system to get these medals during military service to further his career. This is ordained to him, so he went in, and there are so many Vietnam veterans who despise John Kerry for essentially this type of behavior, and he's just a human garbage gigolo.
And to show you how much of a – well, wait, but, and listen, how much of a fraud this guy is, now think about this, okay? So this guy has a yacht,
and you can imagine John Kerry has Theresa Hines' yacht.
And do you know where he parked his yacht in – In order to avoid paying taxes to the state of Massachusetts, he parked his yacht in Rhode Island so he could avoid paying taxes in the state of Massachusetts. And this is Senator Kerry from the state of Massachusetts. This goes to show you what kind of a fucking fraud this guy is. And now he's going to tell us, because he's part of that select human beings who were touched by somebody. I don't know, maybe he was touched by George Soros or Barack Hussein or Obama. He was touched by somebody, okay? But now he's the smartest man in the world when it comes to climate con.
Jeez.
He didn't earn his money. He married it. Teresa Hines.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Crazy. You remember when he was running for president? She was a nut job.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. Well, hey, anyway, we got a caller. Hello?
I think we called. Well, impatient caller.
The Viking.
Oh, my.
Hey, Alder.
God, you guys are on fire tonight. Al's ornery is all get out, and Vito, you sound like you've had about 13 espressos. Boy, you guys are just blowing it. And you start talking about John Kerry, and you start talking about Al Gore, and you don't expect me to call in. I mean, it's every frickin' button you have. The only one you didn't press so far is Ilhan Omar. Oh, God.
We weren't talking about her brother, so our husband, yeah. Our brother husband. That's it. Sorry, go ahead.
I had not heard that clip of Kerry. I hadn't heard of this reference to select group of human beings. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I believe in 1789, there was a revolution, not in America, but there was a revolution over in France where a select group of human beings were paraded up on a podium to meet Mr. Guillotine. So I don't know if that's the same select group that Kerry wants to join or not, but you know, you talked about Al Gore and climate refugee. I'll give you an example of two climate refugees. The little old lady in upstate New York right now who's eating dog food because they're coming to fill up her fuel oil tank this month. She's a climate refugee.
Great example. Yep.
Another climate refugee is the young couple with their two kids who had to have the talk the other night at dinner, saying that they have to cancel the plans to Disney World this summer because Papa and Mama had to spend $5,000 more on gasoline in the last 6 months. Those are climate refugees. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of a company called Generation Investment Management. Sounds pretty fancy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I never heard that.
Al Gore set up that company back a number of years ago. It's a green energy investment company. The company now is worth $36 billion.
No.
And they pay Al Gore $2 million a month in salary. There was an article 4 days ago from the Daily Mail that in 2006 is when Gore came out with the Inconvenient Truth movie and started this whole frickin' farce. Since then, Al Gore has amassed $330 million. That's his worth.
Oh.
I mean,
oh, my goodness.
You talk about a farce. I mean, you talk about a fraud. Oh, my God. I think of all these families. I think of the, you know, little junior sitting in the family room every night doing his climate change project for school, you know, building a fake ocean that's risen 18 feet in the last month, you know, and getting into fights about, you know, and the whole time this guy is laughing his sick ass off at every one of us.
Yeah, and profiting handsomely.
Oh, my.
Profiting handsomely.
$2 million
a month. A month. 2 million tons, that's what, $24 million a year he's making off of this climate con.
And I'm sure that's just in salary. I'm sure he's got, you know, stock in the company and all that kind of good stuff and whatever. But, oh, well, just, you know, everybody think about that the next time you go fill up and it's, you know, $3.79 a gallon for gas, you know, just think of, you know, Al sitting around counting his $2 million this month.
I'm buying Hunt's ketchup, I tell you that.
John Kerry is just, I mean, he's a disgusting human being. I mean, you know, remember when he was literally working behind the back of Donald Trump with the Iranians?
Yes. Correct.
I mean, the guy should be in prison for that, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
It was a violation of the Logan Act, for one, and it was it's treason, by the way.
Yeah. Well, one other thing, observation I had was the was earlier when you were talking about Atlanta, and I just want to remind everybody that, you know, when you talk about Antifa, okay, we have to be careful with the term anarchy, anarchists, because anarchists are people that basically do not recognize the legitimacy of government, okay. And Antifa is an abbreviation for anti-fascist.
Right.
And anti-fascists are communists. So they believe me, they embrace government. They love government. Antifa is they adore government. They just happen to adore totalitarian communism. And that's, you know, we just have to keep that. I mean, that's why you see Antifa marches with the communist flag. When you see the flag of China, you see the Communist Party flags at their events and stuff. They are flat out communists. And, you know, we just have to keep that in mind because certainly there are groups of anarchists that over the years that have, you know, struck out at government and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, it's obviously Antifa's violence towards government buildings and government kind of went away when Joe Biden got elected, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, things did quiet down quite a bit. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Until the other day.
Antifa, you know, worldwide Antifa is they're basically the strong arm of the communist movement in most of those countries and stuff. And I think we just have to keep that in mind that they absolutely embrace the Marxist philosophy. So.
So when I call them Marxist anarchists, I need to rethink attaching anarchists to Antifa.
Yeah, because opinion. I mean, an anarchist would be just as opposed to communist rule as you and me would. But they're also not going to believe in a constitution. They're not going to believe. They just don't believe in the role that the government has any role over their lives. So,
burn it all down.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of, you know, Marxism and Brazilian forms, you want to get into that, Vito?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
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 You know. go ahead and repeat what you just said, because I have some technical difficulties here, but I did hear the just so we can be on the same page.
Well, we're talking about Marxism and all that kind of good stuff, and last week you guys had touched on Brazil and the elections and Biden getting involved in all that kind of good stuff, just another example of a shift to Marxism. So I wasn't sure if you wanted to go down that path or.
Well, it's an important. Well, I think it's an important road to go down, because we're experiencing that now right here in the United States of America in a big way. So yeah, it's a really important subject.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to call in just because I've been paying fairly close attention to that whole Brazilian, you know, situation and all that kind of good stuff. And when it came out that the Biden administration had sent, you know, literally the CIA, the State Department, the National Security Council, Secretary of State, blah, 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 blah. Sent the whole gang down to Brazil prior to the election just to warn the Brazilians that they better not let any hanky-panky happen in this election, you know, where Bolsonaro would try and, you know, steal it or something like that. It was an absolute, you know, joke. And, it's kind of like I'm sure that, you know, the director of the CIA doesn't exactly make a whole lot of trips that people find out about. And so I really kind of doubt that the director of the CIA went down to Brazil, you know, for a 14-second meeting with a couple people and said, hey, you know, don't let there be any election fraud. And then, you know, got back on his plane and went home, you know. I think they were very involved in ensuring that Lula, their little Marxist pal, would come to power. And I think what I wanted to just chime in with tonight was the fact that this just isn't some one-off where, you know, Joe Biden just decided, we don't like this Bolsonaro guy, and I think we better, you know, send some people down there. We better do what we can to kind of influence that election and all that kind of good stuff. This has been a strategic plan, and my contention that this has been a strategic plan ever since 2009, when the Obama, Biden, Jarrett, and Clinton, Hillary, regime took over, where they basically zeroed in on the countries and governments across this globe who were impediments to the New World Order, to globalization of Marxism. And you know, I don't want to. Can I just read you something here? I don't mean to steal the
ahead.
Time here. Let me just read this.
Ahead.
In 2009. Okay, this is just like 10 months after the Obama regime took power. Hillary Clinton went to Morocco to a Forum for the Future conference that was entitled Advancing Partnerships with Muslim Communities. Okay? And she spoke there. And so I'm reading from the article. It says, in her remarks today at the Forum for the Future, Secretary Clinton announced Civil Society 2.0, which will help grassroots organizations around the world use digital technology to tell their stories, build their memberships and support bases, and connect to their community of peers around the world. Civil Society 2.0 includes the following components. Deploying a team of experienced technologists to work with civil society organizations around the globe to provide training and support to build their digital capacity. The competencies developed in the trainings will include how to build a website, how to blog, how to launch a text message campaign, how to build an online community, and this is the money quote, how to leverage social networks for a cause. Okay? So in a nutshell, I'll be brief here. In a nutshell, you got Obama, Biden, Jarrett, and Clinton embarking on this mission to replace governments across this country. Get rid of the bastards who resemble, you know, who would resemble somebody like Donald Trump, who would fight globalization and a new world order and so forth. And so, in essence, what they did is they teamed up with Soros. George Soros has got all these different organizations across the world and developed this whole strategy of social media networks getting behind a cause. So the interesting part of this is this, and here's the point I'm making, is this was in November of 2009 she made this speech. 1 year later, in December of 2010. Remember, she was talking to a bunch of Muslim countries at this conference. 1 year later, December 2010, something happened in this world that changed it. Something we call the Arab Spring. And if you recall, the Arab Spring started with some street vendor dude, you know, pouring gasoline all over himself and lighting a match. And, you know, shit like that happens every day on this planet, and it doesn't get noticed. But all of a sudden, social media in all of these Northern African Muslim countries catches fire, pardon the pun. And basically, by the time it's all over, you've got a cemetery littered with former government leaders who were ousted from power. And my point being is the Obama regime had targeted leadership in Tunisia, leadership in Libya, leadership in Egypt, and leadership in Saudi Arabia. These were people that were enemies of their ideology. They wanted to get rid of them. So all of a sudden, you know, America is all behind this Arab Spring. We're all supportive of this movement of the people. Look at the social media. They didn't tell anybody that they set the whole damn network up. All to affect change, all to rile the people up, to force the change of governments, okay? I should point out that 6 months before the Arab Spring, they didn't see another bunch of protests as legitimate. there was actually something happened in another Middle East country where the people rose up against the regime in power. But we didn't support that. That was called the Green Revolution in Iran. So the Ayatollah, you know, you remember everybody was sitting around going, why isn't Barack Obama doing a damn thing to help these Iranian people out there getting slaughtered in the streets? Obviously, the Ayatollah is calling for the destruction of Israel and the destruction of America. Why isn't Barack Obama lifting a finger to do anything? And he didn't. And that revolution petered out and disappeared. So my point being is, Iran fits into an ally of the Obama regime at the time. They were a partner in this whole Marxist globalist type of attitude. But Libya, Egypt, Saudi Arabia don't. One final note there, you might notice that Iran is the only one that was Shia. All the other countries were Sunni. So I think, you know, I think it goes on from there. I think what you see then is you see the coup that we engineered in Ukraine in 2014. We see the people from the Obama administration that were sent to Israel in 2015 to actively work with the opponents of Netanyahu in that election. Documented that our people went over and actively participated with the campaigns of Netanyahu's adversaries. And in
fact, it was Obama's election.
Yeah, and in fact, a year after Netanyahu actually won, but a year after, they actually discovered that the Obama administration spent millions of your dollars and my dollars to help defeat Netanyahu. So, you know, we've got the Arab Spring, we've got the coup in Ukraine that replaced the government in Ukraine, which we engineered. Then you've got the Israeli election that we meddled in and tried to change the course of history for that country. And now we shouldn't be a bit surprised that we just did the same thing in Brazil. And I'll wrap it up by saying, and we shouldn't be surprised when they do the same thing to the woman that just took over in Italy. And we shouldn't be surprised when they do the same thing in Czech Republic and Poland. And they shouldn't be surprised. You know, I'm just waiting for the day all of a sudden you're gonna hear about social media outrage in India. Oh, my God. Some Muslim was beaten and killed by a bunch of Hindus and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's kind of an interesting thing, and it's eye-opening. I mean, how many of the American people, the people living in America, how many know exactly how the government in Ukraine in 2014 basically changed overnight? I don't think very many.
No.
So.
And
that's my
Holger, and how all of this, but all of this intertwines. And the dots connect to today. And they connect to today because we see the effort that was put in place in America by the establishment, by the cabal, to discredit, to dismantle, to abuse, to bully President Trump. And you know, I'm not being a cheerleader for President Trump, but when you look at the chronology from 2009 all the way to today, including Brazil, the elections in Brazil, and how the Biden regime influenced that election, and as you rightly said, since when does the CIA director go down to a country, say Brazil, for a 14-minute meeting. Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. There had to be an ulterior motive for that. And this individual, Lula da Silva, is not a good individual. He's a Marxist. And imagine that, the Workers' Party. And then you go back to 2009 and you look at what Barack Hussein Sator Obama did and how he used taxpayer money. Where was the outrage, okay, with Barack Hussein Sator Obama using his campaign team, sending them over to Israel to work against a political leader, okay, an opposition leader? That should never have happened. But the abuse of power by this government, and you know something? Today's government, today's White House executive branch is the same executive branch that was in place, very much similar to what was in place from 2009 to 2016. It's the same players, and we're now having the same issues going on. We're having the same exact issues where the fundamental transformation of America by this radical anti-American administration, it's the same individuals that were in place for 8 years. And now White House Chief of Staff Ron Klein is going to be retiring. And do you know who they're talking about replacing him with? Anita Dunn. And you know who Anita Dunn is? She worked for the Barack Hussein Sator Obama administration from day one. She was instrumental in getting Obama in the White House. But her husband, Anita Dunn's husband, is Joe Biden's personal attorney. The personal attorney who now has helped uncover a fourth location of classified, one now the classified documents that a Senator Biden had stolen. They've already uncovered documents that a Vice President Biden had stolen classified documents. And who is his attorney's personal attorney? Anita Dunn's husband. Now, you want to start connecting the dots. The sheer corruption of this cabal, which it tells me that everything that was leveled against, everything that was leveled against Donald Trump was absolute contrived. It was bullshit. It was something that was planned. The execution, the plan was to make sure that you never legitimize Donald Trump. And it was one phony charge after another. And they employed that same tactic in trying to replace Bolsonaro, in trying to replace Benjamin Netanyahu, in replacing Mubarak in Egypt. They used it. They replaced Mubarak in Egypt. It's that same tactic that they used.
You mentioned John Kerry and the Vietnam War, Al did, and you think about over the history of this country, the number of lives that America lost in the fight against communism in Korea, in Vietnam, and other places. Okay, you look to the extent of JFK ordering the Bay of Pigs to keep communism out of Cuba. You look at the decades and decades and decades that it was all about stopping the spread of communism. Yet since Obama took over and passed his little baton on to Joe Biden, that those are the governments that they support. You know, I mean, we just laid out what, you know, they're literally supporting the Marxist regime in Brazil. And I'm just flabbergasted that the American people are like going, well, that just doesn't seem right. Since when do we come down on the side of communists? Well, you know, it's kind of like opening up your southern border so your Marxist dictator friends in Central America can send all their piece of shit losers north and get rid of them. I mean, it's all connected. It's all, you know, that's the point, is we have to get to this point where, you know, the stuff going on in our government is absolutely jaw-dropping. It's, you know, Donald Trump was impeached for a phone call that he made to the president of Ukraine. He got impeached for making a phone call to the Ukrainian president. Barack Obama's regime literally replaced the government of Ukraine with a Marxist government, and nobody even knows about it. I mean, that to me is amazing.
It is amazing because, you know, it all ties together. And it's what's amazing about this whole thing is now you've got Biden with not one, not two, not three, but four now classified documents. And what's the excuse now? It's to make sure that you label how many documents were found. Well, it was six the first time. It was only four. It was ten the second time and 12 the first time, six and six. Okay, so now we're supposed to be distracted by the number in which. But here is – let me just play this really quick with regards to Biden and Scott Pelley, because – This goes to the point. It's only a minute and 30 seconds, but this goes to the point about what it means to have classified documents. And if you catch it right at the end, hold on.
Have you been briefed, sir, on the top secret documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago?
No.
No one has come to you to warn you that important national security secrets were revealed by the storage of those documents at the former president's home?
I have not personally spoken to anyone on that, in that regard. I'm sure my administration is aware of all of that, and so is the National Security Council, but I have not.
Were you notified of the FBI's execution of a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago?
No, not ahead of time.
The FBI spread the documents out on a floor to make a record of what was found.
When you saw the photograph of the top secret documents laid out on the floor at Mar-a-Lago, what did you think to yourself looking at that image?
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods?
Wow.
By that I mean names of people who helped, or et cetera. And it just totally irresponsible.
And you don't know what was in those documents?
I have not asked for the specifics of those documents because I don't want to get myself in the middle of whether or not the Justice Department should move or not move on certain actions they can take. I've agreed I would not tell them what to do and not, in fact, engage in telling them how to prosecute or not.
Okay, so there's lying Joe Biden, okay? And the theatrics of his Justice Department of spreading out the documents that were found in President Trump's compound in a locked safe with security forces around there, okay, Secret Service, unlike lying Joe Biden, where they have uncovered, what, 12 documents in the Biden Penn Center, okay, in a closet that were discovered by his attorneys that don't have, you know, they don't have top secret clearances, of course. And then he says, how could that possibly happen? Okay, so we're talking about President Trump, a president who has the ability to declassify documents in a locked safe and protected by the Secret Service. How could that possibly happen? How irresponsible. And now we're looking at the fourth time now they're finding classified documents, not as president of the United States and as vice president, but also now as a United States senator, which means he stole documents in three separate occasions. And where are these documents out there, you know, spread along the floor, okay, and made for TV dramatization and theatrics in order to expose Joe Biden for the fraud that he truly is? Oh, and the biggest thing that he said right at the end, and this is the most important part, because it doesn't matter if it's one document or 100, what data was in those documents? Because one document can expose all clandestine operations, including individuals who are engaged in clandestine operations. So all of this noise from CBS and, oh, they found material in his house. Fuck you, they found material. They found classified documents. It's not material. You wouldn't use that vernacular when you were describing your hate-filled rant for Donald Trump. You thought, well, these are top-secret classified documents that were nuclear and they had the codes on them. No, now all of a sudden for Joe Biden, well, it's just material that they found in his house while he was eating his Jell-O because he can't eat anything that was hard. Give me a freaking break.
Well, and that's the point. Every time that there's a change in presidency, you know, obviously they move crap out of the White House, you know, and the new guy comes in. And so every time they go through this, I mean, Barack Obama ended up with top secret confidential stuff in that manner. It happens every time. You know, first of all, the president can actually declassify it if he wants to. But bottom line is, it's like, you know, they just move boxes and boxes and boxes of shit, you know, out of the White House. And then, you know, obviously the archives people, you know, reached out to Trump and said, hey, we need, you know, a bunch of this stuff back. And like, oh, okay, all right, kind of fine. You know, the difference being is Joe Biden stole the shit. He's a senator. He stole it. I mean, he's Donald Trump and any president has the right to have that stuff. That's why they just ask him to return it. They don't throw him in prison. Joe Biden was a senator. He didn't have that clearance. He was. It's a criminal act. As vice president, he's not covered under that. In other words, when the documents, all the stuff that moved out of the White House, it went to Obama, except for a few tiny little documents classified that went to Joe. Well, how did Joe get those out of there? I mean, it's criminal.
Sandy Bergered them.
Yeah.
Put them in his socks. But I mean,
you know, we made fun
it was
that.
Like one of the Democrat lawmakers the other day just said, "Well, this is just irresponsible." No, it's not irresponsible. It's criminal. It's bottom line criminal. There is no escaping that fact.
And there's been no FBI raids. Yeah, was it four? You said four caches in four different locations. What about the contact tracing going back all these years? How many people had access to those documents? I want to know. We had a contact trace for COVID. I think contact tracing for classified material is far more important.
Yep.
Did you say the CDC was going to get involved in that contact tracing now? Is that what you said earlier?
Well, I did, but it wasn't very funny. Kind of died. It withered on the vine. That joke.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of curious about the documents that Joe has. I have a sneaking suspicion that some of that intelligence, some of that super classified info has to deal with a little country over in Eastern Europe that kind of borders on Russia. I think there's, you know, when you're vice president and you're in charge of Ukraine and then all of a sudden you're out of office and, you know, your worthless son came over again last weekend and we got to get this kid a job, you know, maybe a little leverage, you know, with those guys over in Ukraine that you installed in the government, by the way, you know, that leverage, you know, pulling a photocopy of some freaking classified report on a higher up in the Ukrainian government, I think that's probably pretty effective.
Well, the Ukraine is the money laundering center of the world.
Yeah.
And Hunter Biden was paying the big guy $50,000 a month from March 2017 to February 2018 for renting the residence of Joe Biden.
the same residence where there were three sets of classified documents that were uncovered. So you're telling me that a crackhead son who paid the big guy $50,000 a month for rent, is that when you charge? You know what? If I charge my niece $1,000 a month to live in my house, she would go. First of all, my wife would kill me. Okay, but you charge your son $50,000 a month, okay, for rent, and the guy owns another house already. So you want to talk about money laundering? How about let's look at that contact tracing, not to mention all the classified documents that were in the house at that time, documents that were 7 years old, documents that were 8 years old, documents that were 14 years old. What was in those documents? Okay, how many of those were related to Ukraine and the Biden crime family's relation? Okay, I want to know about Chris Hines and his relationship with Hunter Biden. Okay, while they were extracting money from Burisma and the big guy Tony Bobulinski, the more of this stuff that comes out of Al and Holger, the more credible Tony Bobulinski becomes, and who's been swept under the rug by the DNC complicit media in trying to cover up for the fraud Joe Biden in the White House. The big guy got 10%. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure under CBS's standards, if it was exposed that Donald Trump was getting 10% from his son, let's say Eric Trump or something, by God, by the standards of CBS and CBS News, they would want to uncover why the big guy Donald Trump was getting 10%. And all of a sudden, these guys in the news media, the DNC-sponsored news, go deaf, dumb, and blind. $50,000 a month Hunter Biden is paying his father to rent his Delaware house. $50,000 a month. But there's nothing to see here. I mean, the guy snorts, you know, Parmesan cheese from the rug. I mean, come on.
Did you happen to see what at the press conference today that the question that Peter Ducey asked of this worthless
Jean
press
Jean-Pierre.
Peter Ducey asked him, he says, when you found out that the FBI had located even more classified materials in Wilmington, which four-letter word did you use? Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
So this was Jean-Pierre.
What's that?
Okay. She's going through her papers. Going through a book.
she responded with, "Oh my goodness, Peter." but I mean, it. You know, you're right. I mean, it's the. I'll just end it with this comment that you know it's the cover up, the continual cover up that's gone on with our media is absolutely probably one of the worst things that's ever happened to this country. I mean, it absolutely is. You absolutely, the Russians, the communist Chinese have never been able to set up a better propaganda arm of press in their countries compared to what we've got, you know, what we've had going on in this country. I mean, it is absolutely amazing how duped the American people have been for decades and decades and decades. And, you know, at some point in time, I mean, there's got to be some hell to pay. I mean, these people absolutely, it's a constant cover-up.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. A constant.
All right,
cover-up.
Boys. I took
right.
Way more time than I planned, so I apologize for that.
Always
no,
a good
no
call.
Apologies. Thank you.
All right.
Seriously.
All right. See you later.
All right. We'll see
all
you
right.
in Davos.
Yeah. You select. Yeah.
Yeah. Select former human beings. You know, Al, I know people sit there and they may be scratching their head over this, but what Holger brought up was really important, because there's, when you start connecting the dots, and I wrote down the 2009, 2010, 2015, 2014, 2022, all of these, the timeline on all this is very interesting. And it's all connected. And to me, right now, when I heard that there was a fourth location on Friday, there was a fourth. My wife came in. I was working, and she goes, "Hey, did you see that they found another? They found more documents at Biden's house." And it's like, that just told me all we needed to know about the cabal in Washington, D.C. There truly is a cabal, because everything that was done to Donald J. Trump was absolute bullshit. It was sheer fabrication. It was manufactured. And we already know that Hillary Rotten Clinton and her campaign paid Christopher Steele for that phony document. We already know that the Obama-Biden regime used the FISA courts to push forth that phony document, the phony briefs, in order to go after Donald Trump. And you sit there and you say, for what reason? And then you look back, you look at what the narrative is by lying Joe Biden, and when he's attacking MAGA, okay? He can't say Make America Great. He's got to say MAGA, okay, the MAGA party. And the same with CBS. You know, if you're an election denier, CBS has standards that we adhere to, so you don't seem like you fall into the standards that is defined by CBS. Oh, suddenly CBS has a standard to live by, okay? But Making America Great is a bad thing to the destructive cabal in Washington, D.C. And somehow, this frail old feckless fraud of Joe Biden, who sat in his fucking basement, okay, for 6 months during the 2020 election, gets 81 million votes. I understand there's people that were pissed at President Trump, but you know what? Part of the reason why people were upset with Trump is it's all manufactured outrage that President Trump was a bad person. We find out the Russian collusion was phony. We find out the Steele dossier was phony. We find out the Ukraine call was absolutely correct in questioning the intent of a sitting vice president and a president of the United States who was Obama, and the vice president was Biden, in a quid pro quo withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee. And what did President Trump do? He made the mistake of trying to find out if there was any illegality with regards to that phone call. And Nancy Pelosi, the chief whore in the House of Representatives, was on top to make sure, to ensure that her henchman was to impeach President Trump. But thankfully, the Senate was not going to do that because there was enough Republicans inside that Senate. Now, I'll use that as a party differentiation, okay? But they could not get two-thirds. But again, the cover-up. And Joe Biden continues to do the same quid pro quo. Why is it that the United States House of Representatives didn't show outrage of Biden trying to quid pro quo with Saudi Arabia with concerns to oil? I mean, how is Joe Biden not impeached as Vice President Biden, okay, in his quid pro quo, along with his boss, Barack? Because remember, it was Joe Biden who said, well, if you don't believe me, call Barack. He's solid on this. Oh, okay. And President Trump is the one that has to feel the wrath of the cabal because he's looking into how corrupt the Biden the Obama-Biden regime was. And now we move forward to 2023. And for the fourth time now, we find out that there are classified documents, but not classified under a president dope, okay? They're classified documents as Senator Biden, which means that he stole those documents. And where is the outrage? Where is it? There's all excuses, okay, by the left-wing media. They sit there and they run quickly to his cover, and they want to cover up how how criminal Joe Biden truly is. There was a reason why Joe Biden could never get the nomination in his prime for the Democrat Party. Because the man's not smart, for one. But secondly, he's corrupt as hell. And I don't know why this endangered this guy is a protected species, but clearly it's because he's a Democrat. He believes in the left-wing cause to dismantle our constitutional republic, and he's the perfect front man to do so. And now Ron Klain is gone. He's stepping down, and it's very possible now that Anita Dunn, who was part of the Obama regime, is going to be back inside the Biden-Harris regime White House. Now, I don't know if you see anything wrong with that. And, of course, her husband, Bob Barrow, is Joe Biden's personal attorney. You see anything incestuous here?
Like West Virginia, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, this thing gets really, really good, and you start connecting the dots. There is Obama, Biden, Harris, Biden. You want to talk about illicit activities? You want to talk about corrupt regimes? And somehow, you know, this hierarchy inside of the Biden-Harris regime is the same hierarchy inside of the Obama-Biden regime, and they're a cancer. I mean, you want to talk about them denying rights and usurping the United States Constitution, usurping the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. And that's what gets me. It's okay that you go out and you attack members of the press who you deem to be your political enemies. And if you were truly a journalist, Margaret Brennan, you would simply say, we are not going to tolerate this type of activity and anti-constitutional actions by the Biden-Harris regime. But because they believe in that left-wing cause, and they look at, I don't know, I'll just say Fox, and I'm surprised that Peter Ducey hasn't been investigated by the IRS or the CIA or, you know, somehow falls sick as a result of the questions that he keeps asking of this regime. Go to Conservative Treehouse, okay, Sunday's article, and Mike Turner is now the new House chair of the Judiciary Committee, or I forgot Margaret Brenner of CBS Face the Nation was interviewing Mike Turner, okay, and she was talking about the classified documents, and one of her questions was, you know, you're not an election denier by CBS standards, just to be clear. And then Turner, of course, could he have been more outraged by it? No. He said, I am not. I work with both sides of the aisle, and there are election deniers on both sides of the aisle. And then Margaret Brennan, she prefaced that question with, of the 26 members of the committee, 19 of them denied the results of the 2020 election. Your colleagues now include Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Scott Perry. They all played critical roles in the former president's attempt to overturn the 2020 election results. Do you have any concerns about working with these lawmakers? I mean, you're very much a centrist. Oh, so there. You have CBS now is defining individuals, okay? So basically, CBS News, ABC News, NBC News are, let's say, election cheater deniers. So election cheating deniers, and they're constitutional republic deniers, okay? They don't want to see the process work out, and they don't want to see what the constitutional authorities are, and that it's okay when a Senator Feinstein objects to the 2004 elections because George Bush won that election. But it's not okay when Marjorie Taylor Greene objects to her own state's certifying of an election when they find that voter irregularities. Why? Because a Democrat was elected. Why? Because it was Donald Trump. And the important thing with the institution inside of Washington, D.C., is to ensure that you discredit Donald Trump any way, shape, or form. And the useful idiots in the media are the ones that are the mouthpiece for the Democrat National Committee.
Amazing.
Okay. I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, if that's not bad enough, we got news coming out of the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, over at the Department of State. Well, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken recently sent a memo to all employees of the State Department entitled, "The Times Are A-Changin'." In the memo, Blinken, our chief diplomat, at this time of crisis, decreed that the department change the font for high-level internal documents to the larger sans-serif font, Calibri, from the Times' New Roman font, which has been used for more than two decades. Are you as confused by that as I had to read it twice? Well, it seems that Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is changing the font on all internal, high-level internal documents at the Department of State. Now, unless you've been in a coma for the last 2 years, you'll know that American foreign policy is in a free fall and we're facing dangers abroad that are unprecedented in scope. China's threatening to swallow Taiwan. Our southern border ceased to exist and the narco-terrorist states that control what used to be Mexico are poisoning our people with fentanyl by the tens of thousands. The war in Ukraine is threatening to drag the whole world over the precipice. And Afghanistan is now a terrorist superstate, and Iran could detonate a nuclear weapon any day. So while all that's going on, it's sobering then to realize that the man charged with navigating our nation's foreign policy through these treacherous waters is spending his time worrying about the font used on internal documents. And it's perhaps just as terrifying that the rank and file of the State Department that work for him have the time and energy to express outrage over the action. Can you believe that? Story and that story is never reported.
No. Matter of fact, I just typed, you know, I typed three letters in the New Times Roman and three letters in the Calibre. So Calibre looks like it's thinner. It's not as wide as – so maybe he's looking to save space.
Well, supposedly it's to help the visually impaired. No kidding. I don't know what to tell you. It just is. That is – well, it's kind of like at the Department of Transportation. When they had that shutdown all the flights across the country, and the last time that had happened was 9/11 when they stopped all flights on purpose, but this happened by accident because at the FAA they were making some changes within the computer code that crashed the system, and part of that was making gender neutral changes, so they had to code that in. Instead of airmen, they were changing it to air people and stupid stuff like that, and that crashed the system.
So
that's our government in action.
Our government shut down the air travel system. They interrupted the entire system to change the wording to go woke.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't done on purpose, but they were making gender-neutral changes to, I guess, the documents within the FAA. Whatever they were doing with gender issue at hand, they had to recode all of that into the FAA computer. And in the process of making these changes that I guess are FAA, Department of Transportation, Secretary Buttigieg wanted. He ended up crashing the system for something stupid and literally shutting down all the flights within the United States, which is still being, the problems of that are still being felt today, and who knows. It's just so ridiculous. It's, the story is equally as ridiculous as changing the font at the State Department.
You know, this Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, every day when I read it, and every day you realize that the Obama-Biden regime are implementing every facet of that Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and they're doing it rapidly. You know, healthcare, control healthcare, you control the people. And that, of course, was undertaken by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Nancy Pelosi. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi uttered those famous words, the infamous words of, well, we have to pass the bill to know what's in it. Poverty, increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easy to control and will not fight back. Debt, increase the debt to unsustainable levels. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Gun control, remove the ability for people to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state. Welfare, take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Education, take control of what people read and listen to, and to take control of what your children learn in school. And you know, that one backfired because thanks to the pandemic, the parents actually started learning what their children were learning, and there was outrage over what their children were learning, and that's how Glenn Youngkin actually, I believe, got elected in governor of Virginia. Religion, remove the belief of God from the government and schools, and that is being done actively by the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party also wanted to take God out of their platform. Class warfare, and this one, Al, this is the one where we see this every single solitary day by this destructive administration. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. And if you read, if you're on Twitter and you happen to follow Robert Reich, okay, Mini Bob, you'll see that Robert Reich does this on a daily basis. He pits the wealthy against the poor. And here's a guy who was part of the Clinton regime, and, you know, he believes in this radical Marxist ideology. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. And this is what they do. They pit one against the other. And then, of course, the woke culture. And again, the woke culture, this is what you do with grounds planes by changing, you know, the gender by implementing these woke policies in order to appease one half of 1% of the population. And this is the radicalism of the Biden-Harris regime and the cancer inside of Washington, D.C. Unbelievable. I think I lost out. And you know, take a look at what this regime is doing. And this regime is doing all they can to interrupt our constitutional republic, to disrupt our constitutional republic. And they're doing it in ways that are contrary to the United States Constitution. And if you don't think that this administration is not actively engaged in usurping the Bill of Rights, just take a look at the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And what has this administration done? Now their campaign is, you know, we have to combat disinformation. Oh, and so we'll establish a truth ministry. The federal government is actively engaged in suppressing and censoring speech in America. And that is absolutely wrong. And then you've got Sheila Jackass Lee, congresswoman from Texas, who now wants to pass this hate bill that goes after white people. I mean, Congress shall make no law respecting an abridging of the freedom of speech. You may not agree with the speech, but government can't pass laws abridging freedom of speech. And somehow we're allowing these ignorant people in Washington, D.C., who are using and abusing the American people. They're abusing the U.S. Constitution. They're abusing our Bill of Rights. And enough is enough. You're back, Al.
I am back. I got disconnected. But I tell you, things are getting bad everywhere. In Nigeria, Muslims attack a village, murdering 11 people, and most of them Catholics. Where's the church? These are weekly events going on in Nigeria, and the government is on the side of the jihadis. The international community is too bamboozled and scared of the Muslim propaganda being called names to dare to take notice. Now, a priest describes a horrifying attack on Catholics in Nigeria that left 11 dead, that most of them Catholics were killed January 19th when Fulani herdsmen attacked a village near a refugee camp in Nigeria's Makurdi Diocese, a diocesan official has reported. Where's the Pope? Where's the world Christians? One part of the body of Christ hurts, the whole body hurts, which is in the Bible. And yet, when it happens, yes, please.
Let me give you an insight on this one.
Yes, do.
They are waiting, the Vatican relies upon the United Nations forces to combat what's happening in Nigeria. I got that firsthand. I'm not going to tell you, I can't tell you where, but yes. And I said, because I questioned, you know, what was happening as a Roman Catholic, I'm watching how Christians are being exterminated in Nigeria. And the OIC is trying to implement UN Resolution 1618. And I asked the question of this individual. And the response I got back was, we see what's happening on a daily basis. And we know that the United Nations forces are doing God's work in Nigeria.
The church, so if I heard you right, the church is waiting, the Pope, the Catholic Church is waiting on the UN to what, give their stamp of approval for the UN, for the Catholics to go in, or are they waiting on the UN to take care of this problem?
They're relying on the United Nations forces that are supposedly in Nigeria to fight the Fulanis and Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda. Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram. Okay. So he is saying that there are UN forces with boots in the ground who are taking out Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab, who are killing Christians on a daily basis.
Please. This has been going on for how many years?
Well, it's exactly what I said. It's going on for the last 4 years now, and in the last year, in 2022, over 2,200 Christians were killed. How many women were raped and abducted and girls being forced into slavery? And you're saying that you're relying upon the United Nations? That's the excuse from the Vatican? I find it reprehensible.
Well, the UN, apparently, according to this article, the Nigerian government is in bed with the jihadis. So that would involve the UN actually having to interject itself into the politics of a sovereign nation. And unfortunately for Nigeria, there's really not a whole lot there that would be in the national interest for, let's say, the United States of America to come in and do what we're doing in Somalia, taking out these jihadis. So these poor Nigerian Christians are kind of in a geopolitical dead zone, and that their murders become insignificant because they have absolutely zero leverage. And the only people who can help them is the church. And now we find out that the church is dependent on the United do-nothing nations.
And, of course, who is part of the useless nations, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation? And guess what? Nigeria is a member, is one of the 57 Islamic states that are part of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that's run by the useless nations. In the meantime, 11 Christians are dead, 42 Christians are dead, 25 Christians are burned inside of churches and slaughtered as they're running out. And we have to accept the fact that the United Nations forces are combating Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram in Nigeria as Christians are being exterminated.
Hmm.
Gave me a warm and fuzzy, man.
Hey, thank you for getting to the bottom, because we've asked this question. We read these one or two stories like this every week without fail on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now we know why. Thank you for getting to the bottom of it. I would not have thought the UN would be in the middle of this with the Catholic Church. Sad. Very sad.
It is.
Sad day for Christianity.
And again, when you start connecting the dots, you know, whether it's connecting the dots with the corruption in Washington, D.C., but you connect the dots just in Nigeria, you know, they're part of the 57 Islamic states who are part of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is an arm and is run by the United Nations. So, you know, what exactly can be done? There is nothing. So where is the UN Human Rights Council, okay, going in and cleaning house in Nigeria? Well, if the Nigerian government is backing it, that means that they have signed on to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation's fundamental edicts, which one of them is UN Resolution 1618.
Depressing.
It is. It's just really sad. But hey, you know, on a positive note, Hank Jones and Poly Sports will be on 5:30 on Wednesday.
Yay.
Check out Hank's show. Yeah, he's got some good. He blends politics and sports. I think we're sorry to say, but I believe that Thursday may be Paul Sutliff's last Sutliffian report. He's got some great offers, and God bless him for his actions and what he's doing. And Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's on at about 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dekdek and the Beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. And Sunday, Eric Kafir stands back with his interfaith dialogue. Check him out at 2 p.m., the Cross of the Crescent. And I'll be back next Monday evening. And, you know, I got to say, Paul Sutliff, what a class act Paul has been. He's the author of two books. One of them is The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which is his most recent book. He's working on a third. And the other one is Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Modern Islam. And that's how we got to know Paul. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to know Mr. Sutliff. He's done a fantastic job, and we wish him nothing but the best going forward. I know he works very, very hard. He works with both Eric and Osama Dekdek. He's been a champion for the Islamic cause with regards to the counter-jihadism, and he's really done some great work. So God bless you, Paul, and we wish you nothing but the best. Other shows on
Good
Black
luck, Paul.
Talk Radio. G Ski and Dave, please keep G Ski in your prayers. You got Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check her out Friday afternoons, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. with her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Keith, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. If you want a break from Islam and politics, check out the Simone Nicole show on Spreaker.com. Joshua gives great self-help tips. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, go to AudreyRusso.com. If you want to hear some great rants, man, Mr. P on Audrey's show does a fantastic job. And she has a great show. She's got some great guests as well. So, Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos.
I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Hank Jones and Poly Sports. We had Becky in the house. Also, we had Gulf Dogs. And, of course, we got the beautiful Chief in Mexico on the switchboard. And, Holger, thank you for the call today, man. It was good to hear from you. And thanks for connecting those dots. Take care, everybody. Be safe out there. God bless you. We'll be right back.
it was my way.
That's all, folks.
Whew. God, I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, you can't hear anything.
I couldn't hear the countdown. I forgot because I had to take it because I couldn't hear from the what do you call it? I had to call in, so I don't know what happened. All right, I even restarted my computer, looking at it, that would help, but it didn't. So.
Yeah, I guess I kicked off. It must have been the same thing. Who knows?
Yeah. That was interesting about the about Nigeria. When you said about the Nigerian government being in on this whole thing, that's very, very troubling.
Well, yeah. And what news you found out that you uncovered is even more troubling.
Yes, I found it disturbing, is what I found out. I mean, the Vatican itself is relying upon the United Nations to defend Christians in Nigeria, and the issue is, oh, don't worry, the UN forces are dealing with Boko Haram and taking them out. Oh, okay, and then. Then you read Jihad Watch and Robert Spencer, 11 more Christians were killed in Nigeria, 22 were killed and 16 were abducted, girls, thrown into slavery, raped, villages pillaged. I mean, I don't know, Al. Maybe we're reading from a different book. I don't know.
I don't know. It's very depressing. And it's sad, and nothing's going to be done. And the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church could hire mercenaries without any problem, put them in country to protect the Christians if they wanted to. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Start the Crusades all over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and why were the Crusades put in place? Because Muslims were killing Christians. They were dominated, and now we're back to the same thing. Some 1,200 years later, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that this Pope. I don't know about the Cardinals either. I tell you, it's just getting more. You're getting disenfranchised by the leaders of the Catholic Church, and you're just wondering what in fact are they thinking, and why are they going down this globalization road. I mean, is Pope Francis that influential, to say, well, we're just going to rely on the United Nations to be our strong arm? Why, you don't want to start international incidents, but don't you want to send a message? Your Catholic priests are being killed. A Catholic priest in France is decapitated. You've got Catholic priests being exterminated in Nigeria. You've got nuns being abducted, raped, and killed in Nigeria. I mean, Lahore, Pakistan, churches being firebombed. Something's not right.
No, it hasn't been right for a long time. And the Catholic Church has gone through waves of good and bad, and hopefully they'll get new leadership in. But they have new, younger leadership, and they're very troubling.
Well,
maybe the the Catholic what's that?
Oh, I was going to say when you said the young leadership, but also know that Pope Francis is going nowhere. Okay, so all of these reports about his stick, Pope Francis is not going anywhere. Okay, so I was told to put that out of your mind. That's just a Western propaganda.
Hmm.
Yep. I was barking up the wrong tree on that one.
Woof, woof. Hey, Sue. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I've got laryngitis. So.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, real quick, I just wanted to say, other vloggers, you know, YouTube channels I'm watching, they're pointing out that with these Biden documents, there's a play of words going on. If you notice, when it was Trump, they called it documents. With Biden, they're calling it items. And so an item could be anything from a box of documents to, you know, and so, you know, it may be a lot more than just, say, six documents. Why the change in the terminology?
To deceive us. Exactly. I noticed that, too. Yeah. I noticed it, too.
Yeah. So
Margaret Brennan from Face the Nation. One quick note. Margaret Brennan from Face the Nation stated that they found material in Biden's house. Material. Didn't say classified documents. She said material. So yeah. So now you've got items and materials. Yep.
But you know, there's this Ukraine thing too. But how much of this? It has China gotten a hold of? My worry more than Ukraine is China. And, you know, because Biden had big deals going on in China, I think that's the real threat of the documents is, you know, what China has a hold of and what they are more than Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of validity to that.
You know, but anyway, my voice is quickly going, so that's it. Enjoyed the show a lot.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for promoting the show, too. We do appreciate it.
Oh, well, I didn't do that good. I haven't changed over my phone. I've got to take a taxi when I get a little bit better so T-Mobile can help me. I'm not doing too good.
Well, you take care of that. First of all, you worry about getting your voice back, okay?
Yeah, well, last 2 days I couldn't even talk, so it's coming back.
Oh.
But I hope by Thursday to get to T-Mobile and have them fix up my phones. I hate these phones. But anyway, then I'll be on and promoting and doing stuff again. But I did get a TV working, and I have watched the news this last for 24 hours, so that's been a plus there.
A plus and a minus. Yeah. You're probably happier not hearing and seeing all the news.
Well, I don't watch it that much, but at least I can turn on and get a little gist of, you know, what's going on. But anyway, thank you guys for your show and everything. And I'll be coming back soon. I just got to get in and get dang Google. I like to choke the people at Google. That's what nobody me up, you know, for now. And then they said, well, you can do it with Wi-Fi. Okay, I'll go ahead and get Wi-Fi. Oh, we're sorry. We've overloaded our system with Wi-Fi, so you can't get it right now. Don't you just love it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, great show.
Thank you. You feel better.
Okay, I will.
All right, Sue, have a great week.
See you later, Al.
Okay, you too.
I'm going to, sorry. I'm shutting it out.
All right, have a great week.
That's all, folks.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.